powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I'm being joined by my main man, Sean Butler, Fixed Ops Director. Sean, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Hey, Corey. Thanks for having me, man. It's great to be here and good to see you more than once a week.
Yes, it's really nice. We get together every Sunday morning, as much as I can anyway, and you know, as long as family allows. We get to hang out on SDL, which is Service Drive Live with Eric and Joe. So before we get into this episode, which is tailor-made for you, which is flat rate, is it dead, right? Let's talk about who you are and what gets you into this wonderful industry. So just take a second and walk our audience through who is Sean Butler and how did you get into the automotive industry?
Okay. My name's Sean Butler. I'm the Fixed Ops Director for Umansky Auto Group here in East Tennessee. Currently, we have a Honda store, an Acura store, and a Mazda store in the Tri-Cities area. I got into the business in 1989 as a vendor. I used to do the interior repairs and paintless dent removal, painting bumpers, and I did that for about right at 10 years. Got out of the business for a little while, got to travel the world, see all kind of different things. And then when situations happened and things changed, I got back into the business as an advisor in 2007. Quickly came up to be a lane manager and then left the dealership environment, went and ran an independent operation, a franchise operation for about almost 2 years. But I learned a lot, right? That's when I learned about the books, about the payrolls, about the taxes. I learned about parts, all the things I would have never learned just an advisor or just in a lane environment. So it made me more prepared when I got back into a dealership environment.
Awesome. Well, that's a long time to be around this industry, Sean. And I've watched you for the last several years. We've been connected on LinkedIn and doing SDL on Sunday mornings, just learning from one another. And I really love your journey. I love what you stand for. I love your core values. So to have you on this show, on this platform, it gives me chills. So I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day running all those stores to really talk about this topic that we're going to dive into, which is flat rate, right? Is it dead? So that's the question I'm going to start with right now. Are technicians flat rate, is it dead in your mind?
So to speak. So I believe flat rate's on the way out. And the reason I say that is because of the fact that the cars have evolved so much. Nowadays, on many of these newer model cars, you're looking at a guy that's an electrical engineer just as much as he is a mechanic. So what's going to happen as we go forward and down the line, as these cars become more and more heavily computerized and operating off of systems, you have to tie into the manufacturer systems, and they might spend 2-3 hours figuring out a car for a 15-minute repair. So flat rate was born out of the manufacturers, right? On how they did warranty reimbursements. And so your very good technicians that have spent a lot of time can do the 4 or 5 hour repairs in a couple hours. And that's how they, you could sustain the flat rate system. But as we go forward and we're getting these younger fellas into it, right now you can't put a 24-year-old guy out of a 2-year technical college into the flat rate system. He'll starve to death.
Right.
So you have to come up with some kind of hybrid system, like a guaranteed hourly. And if I do it, I think Michael Moore, our good friend Michael Moore, does it as well. I do what I call a hybrid system. I have a guaranteed hourly salary for my technicians. And then if they exceed a certain amount of productivity, it kicks in every time they hit like 45 hours booked out. If they hit 50 hours, they bump themselves up to the equivalent of what a flat rate tech would make. So the hourly is set lower, but as they hit certain levels of productivity, they give themselves a raise, basically. But they're guaranteed a paycheck. because we got to keep them interested.
Right. And I like your philosophy on that. And I think this is where this topic really took flight when we were talking about it. It really, the way you talk about it reminds me of what the RV industry is right now. RV, that one technician is HVAC, is electrical, is plumbing. You know, sometimes they have to do an oil change or a tire rotation, right? It's all those things, right?
Yes.
So now you're talking about hybrid system of flat rate, which I was never a technician. I'm good at breaking things, fixing them's never really been my skill set. Right. So taking these technicians, knowing that the industry is changing, EV is coming more and more, right? So there is a lot of computer involved. It's not as what we classify grease monkey like it used to be. Right. There's a little bit of that and a little bit of this. Right. So can a two-person team be effective in your hybrid system?
So I've heard of manufacturers that are pushing this. Matter of fact, I believe Eric was talking about this not too long ago on an SDL show where Volvo was really pushing a two-man team system. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if I walk out to my shop and I get my older experience techs and I say, hey, you guys with 10 years experience, I want y'all to start working together, tag team in a car. Yeah, they're going to look at me like I just lost my mind. I'm going to tell you that right now. But does it make sense to pair up a younger guy with an older guy who's on the flat rate? Because let's face it, an experienced technician wants to be flat rate because A, I pay more for flat rate. Right. They might make $5 more an hour. And B, they've got the experience in their hand to go and do that 4-hour job in 2.5 hours. And so they make money on the flat rate system. Right. They're capable of turning 12, 16 hours a day in an 8 or 10 hour work day. So they're benefiting from flat rate. But if you have these younger guys learning with them, paired up with them, that can be knocking out stuff and learning at the same time, then it makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, I like that. So when I was an advisor working for a Chrysler store, we had a red team and a silver team, right? And it was split up to be fair, right? And when we lost the technician, we had to look for somebody with that skill set to fill the team's needs, right? But this two-person team is really interesting to enhance that flat rate. It's almost like you have an experienced technician, like you said, and a green pea. That experienced technician might not like to do the computer-based stuff or paperwork or calling the factory for technical service bulletins and stuff like that. But the new person that's learning can, and they both can make it work by being each other's strengths. Like if I'm weak in this, you're going to be strong in this, right? It's almost having a personality test, if you will, to find out who's going to be paired the best. Our Paul Meyer, the guy that we know quite well, talks about that quite a bit, is pairing them together so that they can elevate the customer experience and the shop as efficiency, right?
Yeah, I know. I agree with that assessment. And I see that scenario working well as now as I'm sitting here looking out in my shop and I have, I'm sitting here looking at 18 bays and I have my shop divided up in sections according to skill level. Right.
Okay.
So like I've got 6 bays that are guys that are like BC techs. And then I've got another 8 bays that are all like master techs, right? A techs, master techs. And then I've got the express bays, 4 of them. Express bays on the other side of the building. So in those three of those bays have 2-man teams in them, right? So what I've done kind of along these lines is I call it an apprentice program. I am pairing up the senior techs that have all the knowledge and all the skill set with my B and C techs, right? When they come out of Express, they move over with those guys. And after they spend 3 to 6 months over there and those guys are telling me, okay, they're ready to go, then I move them into their own bay, but very close to them. They're no longer working with them. I'm constantly growing my own technicians this way.
Yeah, I like that. So, Sean, to talk about, get back to flat rate for a second, how do you get buy-in when you're changing something like this, whether it's a two-person team or the hybrid system of your flat rate, how do you get buy-in from your people?
You have to sell the benefits and features and how it's going to benefit them, right? So if you have an experienced technician and you're going to pair a younger technician up with him, the experienced technician is probably like flat rate, right? The guy with the 10, 15 years experience, and the guy you're pairing with him is probably hourly. So if you're that guy's producing work for the technician, but it's benefiting you because he's learning and growing, the young guy, right? It's benefiting the experienced technician because guess what? He's getting to move faster because the younger guy's helping him knock these jobs out. Maybe he's knocking out the brake job while the technician's working on something under the car. So they can move the car through the shop faster. And so the technician's getting the flat rate is getting the hours, and the other guy's getting the education, and we're paying for it. So does it lower, in some cases, you know, it's going to lower your, you think, hey, all right, well, so my cost of doing business just went up. But not if they're completing the jobs faster, it's going to even itself out. And you have a technician for the future.
Right. And if we talk about the other benefits, right? So I love where you're going with that. It's not like I'm the boss and this is what we're doing. It's here's an idea. Here's the WIFM, what's in it for them, right? Here's the feature advantage benefit, right? But the caveat to that is the retention, right? That's the hot thing. And we've been talking about retention for the last couple of years now. And I don't think it's going to change because the manufacturers are really, really honing in on it. This right. will help with your retention. As a new customer that is new to your dealership, you do the advisor does everything right, does the walk around, shows them around, and says, hey, it's going to be an hour and a half, right, to get this done. And all of a sudden, 45 minutes later, it's washed out front and the paperwork is in my hands. That's a wow factor that I didn't get at my old dealership, right? And that's the thing that you're building.
Well, and that's where the smart people over the years have gone to two-man express teams for the very point that you just mentioned, right? Old school, nobody had express, 15, 20 years ago. It just all went into one pile. And when we got to it, we got to it. It was nothing unusual to get, 2-hour oil changes. That's how your Jiffy Lubes and your Valvolines of the world got their start, because people were frustrated with the dealer experience. Dealers started getting smarter. Toyota was one of the first ones that initiated a two-man express team, right? And they had it down to a science. Honda's done it. Almost all manufacturers have a process for a two-man express team to get the cars in and out 20 minutes from in bay time. From the time it gets in and racked up till the time it pulls out, 20 minutes is where you should be. So you can get cars in and out of the whole building from start to finish, key to key, as they call it, between 30 and 45 minutes. For basic service. So I think this is the next evolution of that, what started as an express situation.
Yeah, no, I really like that. So let's just say, hypothetically, we've got the hybrid system, all the techs are on board, the advisors are on board, we've got a couple two-man teams for the efficiency. What is the upside, right, the ROI of doing all of this for the bottom line?
Well, I believe that in a busy shop, right, if it's run efficiently, if you're pairing people up where they're coexisting and they're enhancing each other's strengths, like you said, you're going to get the cars out faster. So you might get, or you sell a 6-hour ticket, and one man doing it by himself might have took 4 to 5 hours. If two people get it done in 3 hours, you're benefiting, even though you're paying that both of them. You're still benefiting because of the time advantage.
Okay. So that's an upside. I like that.
The other ROI is you're growing your technicians. When you invest in your people, they stay loyal to you, right? You pay a guy, like I've got two right now, what we're talking about. So out of my four master techs back there, two of them are two-man team. If they have a younger guy, one's 26, one's 27, that are paired up with them, and they're doing a great job. I mean, they're both flagging hours on cars. I mean, they're not costing me a dime.
I love that. Okay, so what is the downside? Let's talk about the negatives. Are there any negatives of doing this?
Yeah, I mean, some of the negatives can be, you know, it can cause a rub in the shop and disrupting the flow. There's some guys that just don't want anybody working with them. They don't want to spend the time teaching those guys. So you have to find the right people. You can't just mandate it in your whole shop. It's not going to work. It's going to cause disharmony. It has to be a harmonious environment to work properly. You know,
I love that.
I mean, let's just be honest about it. There's some people that aren't good at working in teams, you know, and that's okay. You just have to identify the right ones to do it with.
I think, you know, and this is to go along with your downside, is that if I have a person that just doesn't want to embrace the change, just wants to be left on the island by himself, that's fine. I'm good with that, right? And all of a sudden he sees this other two team just knocking it out of the park, and you're putting the efficiency on the board, and they're crushing it and they're making more money. That's probably when he's going to be like, okay, maybe there is a benefit for me to do this, even though I said I didn't want to do it. Right. So even though that's a downside, that could also work into be your favor. That,
yeah. And well, you know, and another downside that could be too, is you got to be careful, right? It's almost like you need to do a personality test, because a lot of times you'll have guys that are very motivated and want to learn. And this could go either way. Your master tech could be the guy that's super fast, super efficient and everything. And he feels like he's being slowed down by having somebody with him. Because there's a few of them out there like that, right? But if they feel like they got paired with somebody that's lazy or don't want to learn, it's going to just disintegrate. It's not going to work. And you have to identify something, a situation like that quickly. We're not perfect. I mean, you know, if everything ran smoothly, they wouldn't need management, right? So, right. I mean, yeah. So we just constantly have to monitor these situations and evaluations, right? One-on-one meetings, seeing how it's going. And you can tell when you're running the numbers, but you can't be strictly analytical. You have to take into account the people.
I like that. And you're definitely a people person. You're the man of the people, from what I understand. You know, when I follow you on LinkedIn, you're always taking a selfie, if you will, with your coworkers and building them up and taking the time to get to know them, which I think is commendable. And I think more leaders need to strive to be like what you're doing within your shop. So I really like that.
Well, you know, I've been criticized for that a little bit on probably some old schoolers, some hardliners. They're like, oh, it's all analytics, it's numbers, it's this, you got to do this. You know what? I have children that are the same ages as the people that I'm employing. It's a different generation. You have to find people's why, right? Some want education. Some want more time off. Some want to go to a beer festival. Some want more money. Some want recognition. Find their why and fit into it. I don't care if I have to have a different pay plan for every tech in the shop, if that's what makes them successful. Because if the employees are happy, if the employees are bought into your goals and your vision, and they understand their role in that team effort, it's so much more successful. I found out, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, when I started putting other people first, right, and investing in them rather than always worrying about me, guess what? Everything comes together. People are successful. They're happy. And then Sean gets what Sean wants, right? Yeah. Because of the fact that everybody else is happy and doing what they want to do. But, you know, you have to have rules and guidelines at the same time.
Yeah, and I like that. So let's focus on the pay plan. Do you have a different pay plan for each individual advisor, technician, or do you do like a blanketed pay plan and make them sign it?
So for the advisors, it's one pay plan. Everybody's paid the same, right? For the technicians, no. I probably have, I don't know, 6 or 7 different pay plans here out of this stack, right? There's probably 6 or 7 different versions. And that's because of the fact, like I told you, different skill levels, different needs. You know, I have a guy that his wife works an early shift. He needs to work 9 to 6. He can't work, come in at 7:30 or 7 o'clock because he has to put the kids on the school bus because of his wife's work schedule. Okay, I can work with that. You know, I've got another guy that suffers from PTSD, right? He was in the Navy for an extended period of time. And he came to me and he said, Sean, you know, I live in Virginia where marijuana is legal. It helps me with my PTSD. you know, but I don't use it at work. And I was like, well, today's your lucky day, because I don't care about that. As long as you can do the job correctly and you're not high at work. Okay. You know, so,
don't forget the drain plug.
Yeah. So you have to be able, there's different extenuating factors. And I've got older technicians that's been doing it 30 years. They only want to work Monday to Thursday. They're tired. Their body's slowing down. Okay. I can work with that too. It's just about what it takes to make everything work together. So I made that older technician a used car tech. It's fine working Monday to Thursday. It doesn't affect my customer pay business at all.
Okay. So let's tie this up in a bow since we're right up against the time.
Yeah.
What are your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that an advisor, someone in leadership at the dealership, an outside agent or rep can take away from this and try to implement it in their walk of life?
So I think that we have to remain open to new ideas, no matter what they are. Are they on the electronic side, all the implementations that are coming down the line, all this new technology? We have to remain open-minded to whatever changes may be good for us, but we have to do our due diligence before we jump in and have a bunch of stuff that nobody's a master of, right? And then we have to hire Corey Smith to come in and train everybody. You know, so one thing is just do your due diligence and stay open-minded to whatever's out there. The other thing is to be empathetic, establish those personal relationships, invest in your employees. When I say invest, I don't necessarily just mean money. I mean, invest your time and building that interpersonal relationships amongst your employees and create a harmonious atmosphere amongst everybody, right? And then I guess lastly would be making sure that you share the vision and the goal in such a way that everybody understands where we're headed and getting their buy-in so they understand their importance, setting that career path, that progression, whether it's an advisor wanting to be a lane manager, then a service manager, whether it's an express tech wanting to be a B tech, an apprentice, and then a master tech, your parts guys, your parts counter, moving up to become a parts manager. It doesn't matter. You just have to get focused with each person to find out where you can meet their needs at. That's how you're going to retain your employees.
I love that, Sean. Thanks for sharing those three takeaways. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family and friends into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, training needed to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question or to be a guest in the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@nationalautocare.com. Sean, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with my last question, like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely, Corey. Thank you for having me, and always a pleasure to speak with you, whether it's on the phone, on a podcast, or Sunday mornings. God bless your family, Corey. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. You too, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Pasha. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.